Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, hello, everyone. This is Zen Ryder, and this is That's the Tea, of course, if you're listening. Oh, there he is. Hey, hey.
What's up? Sean B, Zen Ryder.
Is it sounding good?
Hear me? I hear you good.
Yeah, I can hear you. Sounds good. Okay, let's continue on. I'll try and shut my door since everything's a decibel 1,000 in there. Well, hello, everyone. And if you guys haven't been listening, and now you are, fantastic, because now we are going to go right on into Mr. Sean B's episode. Now, continue on what you were telling me earlier. Now, what we want to hear is where you were before and what brought you to where you are now.
Okay, so basically, I grew up pretty decent, you know, family, also and everything. I had a good job. You know, I really didn't want for anything as a kid growing up. I don't know, my thing in life is, you know, we pay bills and we, you know, try to do the best we can with what we got. And, you know, so I had it all. I had my own house, cars, squadre, girl, almost on the verge to get married and everything. So, unfortunately, everything falls apart. And, I don't know, I guess the true meaning of life I did not understand at the time. I thought what I was doing was just life, you know, just work hard and you just, you know, take care of your family. Well, unfortunately, you know, you have females out there that think that that's not enough for them. Why? I don't know. And, you know, I guess, you know, everybody has their, you know, people change or whatever on you, whatever. So, basically, I just decided to just go out on a limb and just live life free and just, you know, see what the dark side of the world had for me. Maybe I would be more successful being that way than I was. Maybe I would feel better about myself, I guess, if I did the opposite than what I was supposed to do. I never was a rebel to that point, like breaking the law and stuff like that. But I always admired that life as a kid, though. I like gangster shit.
Yeah, it's always the life that you like. I like, oh, I want to be this when I get older, and you know,
I want to be a gangster. I want to tote guns, you know, fucking, you know, sell drugs and shit. So, yeah, so I ended up on the dark side of the fucking life now, and that just fucking ruined the rest of, like, ruined my life, man. I'm not gonna lie to you. If anybody out there, do not, when they say no to drugs, say no to drugs, because
at least meth, at the very least. And here's another thing while we're on that. Okay, so if I'm your friend, right, and we're like, you know, we're kicking it or whatever, and we're, you know, we're doing drugs or whatnot, like, if we're like, oh, let's do something harder, a friend does not give you harder drugs. Like, a friend does not give you meth. A friend does not give you heroin. Let's just put that out
to everyone
right now. If you're hanging out with people, you really, really need to check yourself and what you're
doing. Anything hard like that. I mean, I was never peer pressured into doing that type of stuff, but I was very experimental, I'm not going to lie. But, yeah, I would never offer any type of drugs like that to anybody that's my friend, to be honest with you. Anything else, I mean, I'm not going to... I would recommend if you can help it, don't ever get high. I'm
don't
just going to be real with you.
Because,
like, I'm not going to lie. I was experimental. They say weed is not a gateway drug, but me, for experimental people, it is. I'm going to put it like that. Because for me, okay, I got high on weed, so I'm like, well, you know, I want to know. Because I'm experimental. I don't know how other people are. I don't even speak for myself. after that,
I'm the same.
You know,
I'm experimental for the most part, but I'm like, I like something that I can be in control of that doesn't really take hold of me, you know, and
yeah,
I can enjoy it.
Okay, I didn't care. I was willing to go the distance with this shit, you know. I want to see what was my limit.
So okay.
What?
So now we know, like, where. Now we need to know the how and the who. And what the fuck happened with you? Tell us, please. We want to know. What was your darkest moment? When did you know you hit rock bottom, though?
When I know I hit rock bottom is when the voices in my head was telling me to do all type of shit that I normally wouldn't do and just fucking live on the brink of death, pretty much. I would call it now that I look back on it, because I used to drive my car at high rates of speed unnecessarily. I took cops on high-speed chases and got away from them just to see if I could do it. You know, I'm a ballsy person, man. When you, and that shit would boost, I'm already experimental. So I get on a substance like that, I'm gonna go the distance. I took the cops on a high speed chase twice and got away.
Okay, so wait, back it up. So what the fuck were you driving that you got away in?
Oh, my Honda. It was a new car, so it was a Honda Accord, a 2015 Honda Accord Coupe.
Oh, yes, I had the twin turbo VTEC.
Yes, and, the VTEC engine.
Yeah, the
Everything was on the dual cam? No, not the dual cam, but dual exhaust.
Yeah, it was a dual overhead cam because it's got two shafts. That's what she said. It's got two camshafts. Remember in school?
Remember these.
Honda Civics are driven by camshafts to get their extra speed, the lobes. The reason why they have that on there, the VTEC, the whole reason is the lobes pretty much hold it open longer when it comes to getting past the initial first stroke. And the ignition comes in, it allows it to stay open so that way it can inhale more and exhale and hold it in longer. So that's what the lobes are for on the cam, and that's why they're supposed to measure a certain, that's why you have to measure the lobes, because they have to have a certain spec, because they have to hold open for so long. Because I mean, you got 360, one revolution, so yeah, that's like a 720. So what is that? Each one is hitting how many times? How many times does it do it? Do you remember? In a revolution?
Hey, no. You know, you're the expert with the cars. You're teaching me all I know.
Wow.
Well,
That's another story with cars. I can't believe you don't remember that. So you had the dual overhead cam, basically, is what you had. Because I know you had the coupe.
My car, I always kept, like, at that point in time, I always kept it in the up to high maintenance because I had the money to do so. So, you know, anytime the oil needed to be changed, anything on the car was properly maintained. So I knew I could go the distance. I just wanted to see how I would get away from the police if they, you know, chase me or whatever. So I played cat and mouse with them before. And I learned, though, if you start driving too crazy, they'll stop and just leave and not even take you anymore.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Like, if you start driving and weaving, doing all that crazy shit, I mean, as far as Lake County police or whatever, they won't chase you. They'll let you go because you'll wreck or something. So. Because most people that try that shit are not going to do it in a car that's up to its maintenance. So most people will pop a tire, you know, they'll drive their cars on no oil and do all that stupid shit. So
why did you run away from the police?
Well, at the time, I didn't have, I was drunk and high. And I believe my license was suspended at this point. And I was driving, I was in front of Leesburg Airport. And I hit the wheel, with my arm bumped the wheel, and the car shook a little bit, you know. like weeds, and the cop got behind me, and I'm like, fuck this. So I made a U-turn on the highway and just gunned it. And they went after me for a little bit, and then I busted off. I busted a left there in Sleepy Hollow and went back in the back, and they just stopped chasing me after that. Then I was coming to Barry, and the same night, and I guess they read my tag, and I did the same thing and gunned it from them and got away too. But that was the same night I ended up going to jail too.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was very reckless, and I didn't give two fucks. I just wanted to see how much I could endure and what I could get away with.
So, okay, before you got to your car chases with the police, what was it you were telling me earlier when you ended up in a bando house? It was. Tell
right.
us about that.
Well, just basically, I was just the man running. I was just the dude running the house. Like the ultimate plug was never there, and she would have other people, in the house that did drugs, whatever. I would just be the man to just dish them out and pay. They would pay me or whatever. I'm just there. I'm just there to make sure nothing crazy goes down and they don't steal shit. So I was just, anybody starts to get out of line, if you do your drugs or whatever, you can chill. If you want to cause problems, you got to go. So basically, that's how I made my money.
You're a drug house bouncer?
Pretty much. I guess you would call it that, you know? Because she had this, the chick that was running this, she had it running like clockwork. And I was just one of her pawns. I mean, it's all a game when you comes down to it. No, nobody really gives a damn about each other. You got to play the game for what it is.
So wait. So you were literally hanging out, and didn't you say that you got stuck there during the hurricane?
Yeah, I got stuck there during the hurricane. Yeah, that was like the. That was an experience because you have no fucking water and electricity and you're sitting there and people got to use the bathroom and shit. So, you know, you're stuck in a dope hole with a bunch of sweaty ass people and the fucking house smells like shit. So, I mean, it's horrible, man, when you really think about the type of shit you do, man, you know. So
you were sitting there and the drug hole with, like, poop and pee and excrement just sitting there?
Yeah, everybody else is just having a good time shooting up, you know, doing what they got to do. You know, I was high, too, but I don't shoot up and all that shit. I smoke my dope. And,
you know? Wow, so you hung out in, like, a place where people, what is it, a heroin den, basically, or?
I call it a bando. Basically, you can come there and do whatever the fuck you want to. Just pay me and I got you.
So, like, does that place even still exist?
The place still exists as far as I know. I don't want to put it out there because it's on live radio, so I don't want to put it out there.
Yeah.
It still exists from what I know because it's a guy, he runs all these little, like, he owns a whole flock of these little sacks. It's like, imagine a ranch. You know what a ranch is, like a horse ranch with just a bunch of little houses on them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the people that live there are straight, some of them, but most of the people there are fucking, you know, they just stay there. So half of them, people sell weed in some of them sell dope. Some of them just live in there, whatever, you know. They're just little one bedroom and one bathroom, a little tiny kitchen. Everything's all compacted in one little room pretty much.
Yeah, I know what those are. I lived in one of those in a very short time with my best friend Jason, actually, back in Oklahoma.
Right.
Shout out to my homeboy, yeah. Jason. If you ever hear this, you're my main man, though. You fucking really held it down for us. And miss you, bro. And congratulations on that wedding. So continue on. Yeah. So I know exactly what
you're talking about. You drive like 2 or 3 miles down in some forest to really get to the place. So.
Wow.
I mean, I've seen awful shit out there, but, yeah, because, man, there was a lot of shit. People get their ass whooped out there. Yeah, you never know. You come out your house, you do the wrong thing, say something to the wrong person, you might get your ass kicked. I don't know.
Wow.
Nobody mess with me because I never really mess with anybody. And I guess at that time, you know, I was looking intimidating. I never really fuck with anybody. You come to me, if you're not the police, if I know you, yeah, I'll fuck with you. If not, I don't know. I don't know who the fuck you are. Get the fuck away from here. You know, type of shit. No, I don't know. Sometimes the girl would send people to me and not tell me. She's sending people, so I'm sending them back because I don't know who the fuck you are. I did not get a call stating that you were supposed to come and get anything from me. So,
wow, that's crazy. So what made you really, really, really get down to the bare minerals of life?
Bare minimal of life when, you know, I did all the drugs. I did pretty much everything you can do, steal all kind of shit from people, rob people, do all this crazy shit. And so I ended up going to jail or whatever. And that, I think, is the best thing that happened for me because I was getting over. I would probably still be on drugs right now if I didn't go to jail. It was hard for them to catch me in particular because I was not – I was in the crowd, but I didn't have an entourage behind me. You know, when I left that hole, then that was it. I'm a regular person in society, you know. I'm just your normal average guy, whatever. Drive a nice car. Damn. But pretty much that's what I was looking for. I was pretty much looking for someone to pretty much just live a good, healthy life with. And I thought I might have, I don't know what made me feel like maybe I would find it down in the trenches. I don't know.
Like the only person who's felt like this before. I think I've already had once before. I think we're delving into ourselves and we're getting into our own, I guess, demons, so to speak, getting down into our addictions. Michael, I'm talking to you. We think we're doing okay for ourselves. We think, okay, we give ourselves the excuse. All right, I do this because of this. Just one more time, you know. Quit this day, or I'm going to do this, you know, it doesn't really turn that way until finally one day, universe, like, thinking that you've had before, so I think when it comes down to it, we kind of just throw ourselves out there and make ourselves so thin to evaporate back into, you know, Earth came from, you know, where
right,
the universe,
bro.
Energy does not get destroyed, it just changes form. But I feel like that's what some people get out of it. Like I was saying earlier, me, myself, I grew out of it. And I went to kind of straighten me out a little bit. I mean, a little bit. But when I got out of prison, the last time I got out of prison, I was 23, so I haven't been back since. But I mean, me, I guess when we're getting down to the trenches, kind of backwards, I feel like where we went wrong, what changed, but that's the problem. We really can't. We can try and make different choices in the future. But I mean, when it comes to addiction and stuff like this,
I won't say, like, don't be ashamed of your addiction. But try to grab it before it will take your life. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm getting calls every day from friends that their wives are overdosing, they're overdosing. And the drugs aren't the same anymore, and their dealers don't care, and they will put anything in there to get your money and fucking do it. So, I mean, if you choose to get high, I would just recommend just smoke weed or drink it or something. These hardcore drugs, you don't know what it is, and especially if you don't know what you're doing out there, yeah. I had to learn that game too because I could have been a victim of bad drugs a couple of times, but just because the little knowledge I got from other people, I dodged that a couple of times. And
oh, really?
I would not recommend shooting up your drugs because that's the main way you can die. That's why I always took to smoking it because if you smoke it, more than likely you have a chance, even if you get bad shit, you have a better chance of living than you do, and you could probably catch it before, you know, when you shoot it up in your arm, it's all in there. And you just got to wait it out. So, there's ways to do things.
Yeah. If you're doing drugs intravenously and giving yourself a bad shot, if you can afford to do so and hurry up, you need to get some salt water into your like stat and drink some fucking.
Yeah, keep some Narcan on you if you can.
Yeah, that's super important, dude. Like, make sure you're using clean needles, you're not listening, and you're doing intravenous drugs. Like, please be safe about that shit because we need you here.
Death. That's all. That surrounds all that shit, dude. I've lost plenty of friends that I've known in the last couple of years from these horrible drugs, man. And it's not. It's like not even the drug anymore. It's the people selling the drugs because they're not even giving you good shit anymore. They're just giving you whatever they can give you to get the money for them. Nobody cares about if you die off of this. Nobody cares. They just want to be your friend to get your money. These people are not your friends.
I remember like back in the early 90s when I was still just popping and stuff like that, and it was a little bit safer to do. And I have accidentally overdosed on what was supposed to be ecstasy, but it turned out to be rat poison. And everyone ate them. And usually my rule is, yeah, I died in my mom's arms. It was great. I was 18, so I usually look at. That's another thing, people. If you're listening, please, for the love of God, if you are buying pills out on the streets, do not just pop them into your mouth and take them. To look at them.
Yeah, look them up on
you need
to
a little bit of that pill residue, and you need to put that shit on fucking foil, and you need to fucking maybe just drop a little bit in some bleach and see what happens.
Test it, do whatever, you know.
It should just go away. It shouldn't like make another chemical.
For the pills, I would recommend the pill identifier before you pop them, just to make sure it is what you're getting. They will show you a picture of the pill and what it does. Just don't be so in a hurry to get high that you just take anything. I mean,
my rule is to always look before I take them. I was arguing with my boyfriend, and I just took them because we were all sitting in the car when my friend brought them to the six of us. We were waiting to go to my friend's party, and everyone ate them, and I was the only one that was like throwing up colors like the entire time. And then I got high. I'm instantly new, like, so I got to my turntables, then take a red, a blue pill, and I started dying and gurgling in my own blood in my mom's arms.
Girls, just be careful, man. I'm telling you, guys take advantage of girls with downers, you know, so you got to just be careful. You're doing your shit, just, you know, make sure you get into a safe place or around safe people that you know are not going to, you know, try to do anything or molest you or do anything like that, because people on drugs are fucking disgusting, man. It's not just doing drugs. People don't care. People want to use drugs to fucking dope you up and take advantage of people. So, you know, I thank God was never a part of that. That was one of my rules. I don't take advantage of people.
You're definitely that type of person. I know Sean B. personally, and I would tell you guys 100% he is not anything what you would think of someone doing meth. When he first told me about this, I was actually quite in awe of it because I'm like, what, you? How? You don't think something as fucking crazy as that drug is. Like, you would, like, expect to do that shit.
I thought that's I like was handling it properly. It gets out of control after a while.
Like, okay, let's back up. Okay, let's go in the beginning. What were you initially, what was your step to meth? Like, what was your introduction to actual meth?
Okay, my introduction to meth is, okay, so I told you it was experimental, right? So I used to take Adderall to go to work because I used to work. I used to work a lot, and that was just what I did to get money. I wasn't into all this extra shit to get money, so I work hard. But I found out, you know, Adderall give you an extra boost. So I could work fucking 12 hours, 13 hours, and I'll be, you know, I'm good to go for the day. So eventually, you know, that shit kind of I got to the point I was popping so many that they don't do anything for you after a while, and I'm a pretty big guy, so I started off popping them three at a time. So eventually, you know, that stopped working. So, you know, I'm hanging out at his friend's house or whatever, and he's, like, doing his thing. Like, he never wanted to tell me what it is he was doing, and I just got it out of him. Like, dude, what the fuck do you do for a drug? I know you do drugs. What the fuck is it? He's like, you know, I do meth. I'm like, well, what the fuck is that? He's like, let's put it like this. It's just like Adderall. When, that's all he had to say for me. There was no peer pressure. I'm like, let me try it. So, yeah, I took one hit of that shit, and it was exactly like he said, you know. He never peer pressured me to do it. He never told me to do it or anything. I took it upon myself to just, like me being experimental, do it. So, like, whoa. So I'm like, okay. I like this. I like this, you know?
Yeah.
And and then, you know, I used to work out at the time and stuff too. So yeah, when I would go to work out, lift weights and shit, it would like, that shit used to make me feel like I was like goddamn Man of Steel. I was like, I was ripped. I had a 6-pack. I was like totally on top of my game. But eventually that shit, when you come off of it, it just, it's like, man, you just were on steroids, I guess, because that shit will fuck your body up. Like now I'm like big. Nothing like I used to. It pisses me off every day I look at it. But I'd rather be like this than fucking dying from meth, you know? So, you know, you gotta take the consequences that come with your actions.
So were you happier before the meth?
What happened?
Were you happier before the meth?
Yes, I was until I got my heart broke, you know?
So earlier you mentioned that you felt that we were blamed. I can kind of understand that.
I was happy doing everything I was doing because I thought I was doing the right thing. You know? But
so
you know,
what if it's not
now, there's still something missing. It's like, what is something missing? And I guess what was missing was her not giving me all her all in the relationships.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's what I'm getting to. When you go and try things like for instance, like weed was my first and should have only the only drug I ever did, honestly. If it wasn't for my sister, I probably would have never known what ecstasy was. But you know, I mean, that happened. Oh my God, what is my daughter? I'm sorry, guys. My family members crap. I lost my job. What was I saying? Sorry about that, people. I actually live a regular life and we don't have a studio like winging this shit. Real and untight.
Yeah.
So where were we? You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. You hear me?
Okay.
Hello?
What was I saying?
You're talking about your sister. And,
oh, yeah.
And
drugs. Thank you. Introduction to drugs. So, sorry, people. My really only drug I really got into besides alcohol was, okay, so getting back down to it. When we say we really try and understand what we mean when we say that, gateway is like a pathway into something, and that has to come from like a body to another. Think about that. It is in ourselves that make us go and do drugs in the first place. Could it not be that weed isn't really a gateway drug? It's just more like we're willing to do anything to get out of reality. What do you think? So what do you think on that?
You blanked out. What about the weed situation? I believe, I'm going to put it like this. I believe in a high. I believe that you get high, not even off of drugs. You get high for coffee. So everybody, I believe you need that escape from life, but you just got to find that balance and don't take it too far.
Okay.
So that's why I would recommend if you don't, even start doing drugs. But if you do, pick the weed and maybe drinking or something or coffee. These other drugs are not here to help you.
Well, the gateway part is what I'm saying.
Oh, the gateway part. Well, see, for me, I can't speak on the gateway part. I thought it was a gateway for me because I am experimental. I feel like if I never tried weed, I probably wouldn't have tried any other thing else. So,
like, I think for me, it was trauma in my childhood that made me go to drinking and then turning to, like, actual hard drugs. Like, weed, I grew up with my parents. Like, that's just normal. I didn't start smoking weed until I was 15. And back then, it was like, you know, like we that these kids today will never have to understand. But yeah, I think that the gateway part to the drug use is more or less the traumas that we are trying to escape. And I think that drugs are tools that we shouldn't abuse. We got 13 minutes left.
That part.
Drugs are tools. Acid is for exploratory. It's your self-image that you see. It's the darkness in you. It's the lightness in you. It's the sad. It's the happy in you. It's your demons that are within you. And then your outer, what you see about yourself and others. Excuse me. Because let's be real here. What we look at people and we perceive of them and think about them, reflections of who we are. And what we think about ourselves. How we treat each other.
Right.
Because we ourselves think of ourselves like shit. So we treat each other like shit. And then we're so good and highly neurotic. We think that we're better than other people because they're a different color and they come from a different place. When really, everyone's going to end up the same way. Dead in a hole.
Right.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, what are we doing? What are we running from and why are we doing it? Why are allowing things to not be a tool, more so be a gateway to self? What is sabotage? Like I talked about earlier, when it's not to help you, it's to sabotage you. You know what I mean?
Right. And I even learned a little thing about how even the government and these drug people work, because I know places right now that have been, cops have came there and all type of shit. They know damn well it's a fucking drug house. And I don't even know how today them bitches are still running their fucking house. Wide out in the open. I'm talking about you could tell there's fucking druggies and shit at this house because there's people outside, people getting their ass kicked, beat the blood and all type of shit outside. And it's just an ordinary neighborhood, ordinary suburban neighborhood, right? Just this house in particular. And they know damn well what's going on because the cops, I've heard the cops even say, I can't wait till they shut this house down. And here I am out of rehab 4 or 5 years later and they're still fucking around. I could go there right now and start right back up if I wanted to.
Holy shit.
Remember, I was telling you, I went to that. I visited that place a couple months ago, just to see who was over there still. That I still remember. Yeah. But that's a topic for another time. But that even gave me some insight on like, do the cops really care if these people are dying off of these drugs?
No, they don't. They're actually helping. Because I mean, think about it. They don't want people who are offending that. Violent, and they want people that are easily, like, you know, child, you know, like.
I know people that have overdosed in his house multiple times. Oh my God, like, it's crazy. So, I mean, but I that opened my eyes to that part of the world too. I didn't even know, like. You don't really have to be too slick. You just got to be the right color to sell drugs. Whatever you're selling. Really basically
well,
boils
I
down
will
to.
say this. I was this one dude for a little bit. His name was Steve. He was 6 foot. He was, well, all the black dudes in the hood over here dubbed him, like, you know, black. He got big for a minute. But, yeah, I was with him one time, and we were going back to me home, and I was like, you have on you, right? Like, no, no. And I'm like, you're not, because he ran his house over there in the country club, country club. He ran, it's like a McDonald's drive-thru, I shit you not.
Yeah.
Like, this dude's up in that bitch, 2-3, and serving niggas, like, they, like, in a line.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, like in front of all these white shit. So, we were there, whatever, and I was making sure you don't have money, right? Because you know, and no, lied to me, dude. We were coming, and we were just leaving the country club, and we were leaving a line of cars. To the fucking country club, and they followed us, and they followed us for a long time until we hit the next county line. So I was like, give me the fucking, like, they were following us. They had no reason to pull us over at this point. So I was like, whatever you fucking have on you, give it to me now. I fucking ate that shit. I ate that shit up. It was a big fucking rock of coke, dude. I shit you not. I chewed up 2 grams of cocaine with any water. Across county line, then they stopped following us, and I fucking threw the key out the car. They fucking pulled us right when we got around there, back into county lines to come back. They fucking caught us right there, right on 441, like the, you know, right when our street is from 46 and the first, right there.
Right there.
Right fucking there, boy. Right there. They fucking pulled us over, fucking seats out, all shit. Couldn't find nothing. They were pissed. And meanwhile, I am fucked up and so mad at this point because I am fucking, I have 2 grams of cocaine, of really good coke. It was not coke whatsoever. It was really good. And I
lucky
fucking hate
stop
him.
On that one.
Boy. We made it home. They let us fucking go, dude. So I made it home. He fucking left. He fucking couldn't catch us with nothing. They let us go. I get home. I'm fucking texting him. I'm so fucking pissed off at you. Because I was like for like the next 16 hours. It was horrible. Absolute. And there was no euphoria.
There was no euphoria. And no, yeah, some of that shit used to give me a little, you know, like that meth used to give me fucking.
That's the key.
Like, I used to, I am thankful to God that I made it out with 10 fingers and 10 toes, because this time, man, I could have been shot, fucking wrecked, killed somebody else, killed myself. I don't know. I'm just, man, the type of shit I used to do when I was on that shit. I am lucky to be here and just be the way I am now. So, I was just that. I never plan on going back there.
5 minutes left, counting down, 5:30. So, in my conclusion of all this is what we were saying earlier, we were really, really getting down to something prophetic. We really wish that we had been fingers then, but it's, we can't really always just be on the radio. And I wish that we could, because the stuff that we come up with when we're just doing it, it's much better than what that we could try on the street. But I can write down for you what I was trying to get down to earlier is we are transcendental beings. When we spread ourselves thin, eventually we just evaporate and we end up to be dust. We put ourselves there quicker than when they're at right here, you know, keeping up with the Joneses and whatnot, or, you know, being in the slums and doing drugs and being the last Harlem and, you know, being in a really dark place. If you are able to get out of that place, you will evaporate. But if you can walk that line, come back from death, I mean, that is like a phoenix from the ashes right there. I mean, that is probably the most, that is though a rose growing in concrete right there.
Right.
So, I feel like maybe drugs are more tools and should be abused, and we should be paying more attention to the bare minimum of where we should be, because the more up you go and ladder of things and schemes, if you're, the more money you make, the more time you spend into trying to accrue materialistic things, the more money you drift away from. Yeah, more money, more problems. And you not only is it like problems, but you'll have spiritual problems with your soul self. You don't have to believe in any deity at all, any religion, but understand this. Your soul is a soul. Body. The body. So when you're doing this stuff and you're out here putting a hole, you know, you got to fill the abyss to try and make everything all better, to feel good or whatnot, whatever the case might be. You're only making it harder to come out, but don't think you can. But when we do that, there are more soul spiritual problems than any material or physical problem we could, you know, actually quite fathom, because we're just kind of living the experience. It's not something that comes with a manual and stuff. We're just kind of bought, we're told what to say, and then everything kind of, as far as it goes, they kind of switch often, and knows what I mean. And it's like, it's and what our game of Monopoly, you know, it's played, game is played on your back. So that being said, if you've caught anything about this episode or any of the topic we were talking about, it's kind of like hitting rock bottom to find the meaning of life.
Right. Sometimes you gotta hit that rock bottom to actually know what your purpose is and find out even who you are as a person. I know it is for me. It did it for
Why
me.
Why did you, how did you get it to, how did you get your, I guess, your, so to speak?
But you got to say that again because the phone's broken up. So.
Mm-hmm.
Say it again because the phone, this thing's breaking up real, real bad.
Oh, sorry. 20 seconds. Is it? Ah. Well, that's all the time we have, guys. Yeah. If you tune in any, thanks for showing up. We'll one more segment, and we have a lot, like, and just delve in stories about ourselves. You know, we're both covering the life of many times. So if you're experiencing anything dark in your life, you're doing drugs and stuff like that, and you feel like you're on the end of the rope, don't worry, things will get better. Just keep trying. And make sure to remember, the choice is a choice. The future choice isn't a decision. Later on, is a decision you should make today, now, and at the point when you feel like quitting. So for everyone out there, I hope everyone's had a great day. Today was my mom's birthday. And that's the tea.
That's the tea,
right, Sean? That is the tea. What did you think?
Very good. Are we off the air?
That's a good episode. All right, we're going to go off air now.
All right.